In today's podcast, I talk to the founder and CEO of fashion's favorite shaper brand, Commando, Kerry O'Brien. The businesswoman who went from vice president of one of the world's biggest financial PR firms to conquer the world of intimate apparel. We talk about her rise to the top of both industries, how to professionally reinvent yourself, and of course, what makes Commando so special. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brand Thomas Podcast. Welcome to the Brand Thomas Podcast, Kerry O'Brien of Commando. How are you?
I'm so well. Thank you very much.
It's so lovely to chat to you, and you have such an incredible story and such an amazing background that I'm dying to chat to you about it all. But as an Irish person, I have to ask the very obvious question. Kerry O'Brien, are there connections with that name to Ireland at all?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell me.
My father's name is Daniel John O'Brien.
Right. He's one of ours.
I have siblings, Stephanie, Molly, me, Kerry, Katie, and Danny O'Brien. I come from a family of five.
Yeah.
And my father's family came from Ireland in the 1840s and nice. Migrated right to Vermont.
Okay. So then that means, you're ours. You're one of us. That's brilliant.
I am. I'm half Irish. I am half Lebanese too.
Okay. Well, we just take credit for all the very talented and creative side. And there's a lot of that. So listen, it is wonderful to talk to you because I think your story is fascinating because it started out in a very different, or your professional life was very different a couple of years ago. You worked in financial PR and in the world of mergers and acquisitions and IPOs. It's not a path of progression that you would expect to end up in the world of fashion. So how did this happen?
Well, you know, it's not a typical path at all because I grew up, as you know, in Vermont, mm-hmm. and which is a rural area. And I moved to New York City after college and I started off in public relations. Mm-hmm. And it really was something that I really loved. Before that, I went to college in Boston and I did a lot of different internships. I was really interested in politics and media. So at one point, I even worked for Senator George Mitchell,
yeah.
which I know the Irish know very well.
Oh, yeah,
when he was absolutely. The Senate Majority Leader, I worked as an internship for him. Mm-hmm. I also worked for CNN and ABC News and also for the Democratic National Committee. But what drew me to New York was its fast pace. Mm-hmm. And when I joined Edelman, I was an assistant. And very, 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 very quickly, I was promoted to vice president. I was in my mid-20s. And then by my late 20s, I was senior vice president.
Wow.
And what we did was I did financial public relations, which meant I represented publicly traded companies and helped them go through their IPO process or mergers and acquisitions and help them announce their earnings reports. So it definitely wasn't a traditional fashion background, but I can tell you it prepared me to start my own business.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that industry, because I've specialized in lots of different companies, I got to learn to ask the important questions and was unafraid of, you know, kind of diving in deep on what the industries did, like whether it was a medical device industry or telecommunications industry.
Mm-hmm.
I was unafraid of learning the industry and asking important questions. And I kind of took those skills and applied them to when I started my own company, which was years later.
Yeah. So you were dealing with huge companies. Were there any companies from the retail world that you learned something particular from when you were in this previous life?
I did have a smattering of retail clients. Mm-hmm. But it really was not something that it was necessarily something that I took as a learning point for me.
Okay.
The diverse nature of the clients I represented really was where I felt my skill set, my curiosity and my confidence came from,
mm-hmm.
is not being afraid to asking questions and, you know, questioning norms. And really, the value of an outsider's perspective was really something that I didn't realize at the time that would really benefit me as I started something that I had no training, which was, you know, this crazy world of fashion
mm-hmm.
that we're in now.
Yeah. In your previous role, it was a very pressurized industry, a highly pressurized industry. You're reading papers every day. What acted as the catalyst for change then? Was it that there was no balance in your life, or was it just a desire to work in the fashion industry? What what made the change for you?
You know, I'm a big believer in chapters in life. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, it was a high pressure job and I loved it and I thrived in that environment. Mm. And, but I didn't realize the catalyst for me to change was really September 11th.
Yeah.
I did quit my job the day after September 11th. For many reasons, because I didn't want to relive the news cycle over and over again, because you know, I had clients that were affected by September 11th. Mm. And at the time, I thought I was going to stop because I just needed a break and I couldn't survive the news cycle of it. But now that I have a lot of time behind me, I realized I was simply burnt out. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want my, you know, if I were to go back into that industry, I thought to myself, do I want my boss's job or my boss's boss's job? And the answer was flat out, no. I wasn't necessarily learning anymore. And nothing was getting me as excited as it used to when I first started my career. So my chapter ended abruptly on September 11th/12th. And I was ready to do something new. But it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to quit my job and start this underwear company I've been dreaming about. Mm. It wasn't like that at all. I really didn't have any idea what I was going to do. And that self-exploration was really meaningful. That time where I just kind of had self-reflection was really interesting for me. And it's not like I started my underwear company, it just took off. I started other things that weren't necessarily well received in the marketplace. And I ended up in a place of starting Commando.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually more admirable that there wasn't something that you were definite about, you know, to leave that industry that you had done so well in and you had been promoted so quickly and worked so hard for, to leave it to go into the abyss and to not be sure of where you were going. I think that's admirable. And I think that a lot of people need that, need the courage to do that, because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Sometimes it's important to stop and think about things, you know?
Well, I also feel like some people, maybe you know some people like this, that they have a plan in life. Mm. And they're like, I'm going to get married at this certain age, and then I'm going to have XYZ kids, and then I'm going to do this job, and I'm going to get promoted, and then I'm going to retire. Who says life is going to turn out that way for you? Life, I wish we all had that much control over our lives. Mm. You simply don't. And you just have to embrace that life, you can make decisions for yourself to make changes in your life, but sometimes life makes those decisions for you. Mm. And you just have to accept that as a fact.
But I think what underpins your story is you are an incredibly hard worker. I read an interview you did before, and you were talking about internships that you had done, and you were doing one particular internship, perhaps in CNN, and somebody then offered you a nighttime role. And instead of saying, well, I'll do one or the other, you just did both. So like that ethic is so important. So do you think that you would have been successful in any industry given how hard you're prepared to work and, you know, the knowledge you took from business, from working in Edelman previous to this?
I think that a common denominator of people that are successful in their life, and success isn't necessarily measured in monetary terms, mm-hmm. is that you have to work hard. Mm. You can't get away from that. And when presented an opportunity, you have to say yes. Mm-hmm. I have this saying, it's a little cliche. I even tell my kids about it. It's a common rule, which is when in doubt, check it out.
Yeah.
Even today, when I have that extra business trip that I have to take, or it's a marginal thing, should I do it? Should I not? Every time I said yes to that opportunity, I have benefited in some way. Mm. I met someone, I created a connection, I got an idea, I changed my perspective. All of these are very, very, very important. So at the example that you give, when I took two internships, I applied one summer to, and I'm a big believer in internships. If there's anybody listening to me right now, when you're in school, if you are provided an internship opportunity, or if you're not, you should go out and seek one, because mm-hmm. it's really, 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 really important to get experience as young as you possibly can. But the example you're talking about is when I decided that I wanted to see what it was like to be a reporter, I applied to CNN and I applied to ABC News Nightline. And I was accepted to CNN in the morning. So I had a 7 a.m. until like 2 p.m. shift in New York City. And I was already in New York, and then Nightline called me and said, are you still interested in this internship? Well, of course, I had already found one. But why would I say no to Nightline?
Yeah.
So I got accepted into that one. So I would work from 7 a.m. to 2 at CNN, and then from 4 to midnight at Nightline. Wow. And it was amazing.
That's amazing. Well, you are amazing, you know, because a lot of people would pick one or the other. And I guess that's the difference, really, isn't it? So tell me then, what did you think? So at what point did you decide, okay, there is a gap in the market for shapewear, for Commando, and I can create it? When did Commando come into existence in your mind?
Well, Commando is more than shapewear. It actually started off with, we're mostly underwear and bodywear. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, when I decided to enter it and I realized there was a void, was when I've always enjoyed fashion and I would give fashion advice for better or for worse. I considered myself an unpaid stylist, and I would give my advice to my sisters and my friends on what to wear, from shoe to lipstick. Mm-hmm. And whether it was for a job interview, for a wedding, for a date, whatever it was. And over and over and over again, I realized that I would be disappointed when I would see them because they would look amazing, but they'd be wearing the most horrendous underwear that would ruin their outfit. Mm-hmm. You could see through it. They'd have an ill-fitting bra, or their underwear panty lines were showing through. And I was just, it was maddening to me. Mm. And it was happening over and over again. And I realized the reason why this was happening is that women like me did not have an underwear that they loved. They had other clothing and brands that they relied on for the perfect black dress or shoes or the perfect pair of jeans. But there was an underwear that, in my opinion, and I felt the same way. I always felt a little deflated when I would open up my top drawer and decide what underwear I would wear. It was almost like picking the worst, like the best of the worst. Mm-hmm. So I felt like there was three categories of underwear. There was the underwear that was supposed to be quote unquote sexy, that many times it was a male's view of what is sexy, not a women's view, which is an important distinction. Mm-hmm. And it was many times uncomfortable. Then there was the shapewear section, which we tried to called control, that tried to change you. And I always kind of felt bad wearing it because it was not only uncomfortable, but it was almost like I had to apologize and that I had to change my body to wear it, mm-hmm. which didn't make me feel empowered whatsoever. And then there was the third category, which was the comfortable underwear. And that was the world's ugliest underwear because it was almost like the industry was telling you, if you want comfortable underwear, you deserve to have ugly underwear. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, yeah. I want it all. Mm. I want to wear something that is highly technical, really comfortable, that's very flattering on my body, and just works all the way around. I want an everyday go-to underwear that I love wearing because I believe everyone should love every single thing that they put on their body. Mm. And that includes your underwear. And it starts with your underwear. Mm.
And I think that perhaps the mindset of the customer, which is what you said about changing, was that, okay, let's invest in what we see. If I'm going to spend money, it will be on the dress that you see. Whereas to make the dress look good, you need that good foundation. You need that underwear to accentuate and, you know, perhaps shape. So how did you go about changing the mindset of the customer to invest in what we don't see?
You know, since we came out, Commando was the first to kind of introduce this raw cut underwear, mm. which is underwear without elastic or trim. That was our first revolutionary garment. And it was something that many people had never seen before. So, and it served a purpose. It was a functional purpose where people were saying, wow, I can wear this underneath XYZ outfit and I'll buy it for a special occasion. And what they didn't realize, by not having panty lines and lines, that also means that it's more comfortable because mm-hmm. a line in itself means it's pressing into you, which is not good, which is not necessarily comfortable. So they would buy it for one thing. And then they say, hey, I kind of like these Commando underwear. I want it to be my everyday underwear. And why wouldn't it be? Mm-hmm. So once you invest in your top drawer, you don't go back. Mm-hmm. Another interesting thing that's changing right now is that there are no rules anymore in what is underwear, what is outerwear. Many times you see women wear Commando underwear under sheer looks. It might be a high-rise panty, or it might be a thong like Rihanna wore underneath the fashion icon dress. I don't know if you remember that when yeah. she was the Council of Fashion Designers of America. Mm-hmm. She was honored as a fashion icon and she was wearing the sparkly see-through dress with just a Commando thong underneath. So given that there are no categories anymore, women are looking at underwear many times as ready-to-wear and they will spend money on it as they should. Mm-hmm. The other thing is Commando lasts a really long time. So these aren't underwear that like wear out over time. They have longevity to it, which is very important because we get our fabrics from the world's best mills. the majority of our fabric comes from Europe.
Okay.
And we cut and sew it here in the United States.
Okay. And I would imagine, so speaking of the technical side of things, I would imagine that the fit test is a lot more complicated with lingerie because, you know, if you are creating a dress, it's a 2, 4, 6, 8, whatever size it is. I'm using American sizes now. But if you're, there are so many different body shapes and our boobs are different shapes and our bums are different shapes. Is the fit test incredibly complicated for you to create the blocks with which to work?
Absolutely. Every eighth of an inch makes a difference on how it fits. But this is a perfect example of how me being an outsider to the industry has greatly benefited Commando and its customers, because I had just assumed when I started my underwear company that you would fit test that because I was creating a garment that was, I wanted people to love and wear every day. I just assumed that everyone fit test every single size and every single style. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that the industry norm many times is to create a sizing block and just have a computer grade up and grade down. So at Commando, we have a rigorous fit test where we wear test it on real people, real women in different sizes. And the ultimate test is something we call the carry test, which is I wear test every garment. And the only way it goes into our line is if I absolutely love it.
Wow. So you learned with your company and it started to grow. And you mentioned the collaborations with celebrities like Rihanna starting to, you know, wearing a thong under a sheer dress. I would imagine there's a lot of times like that that we have been admiring Commando on the red carpet, but perhaps haven't been aware of it. So talk to me about the early days and when you started to collaborate with designers and celebrities.
So as you know, I came from a public relations background, and I believe in authentic relationships and true relationships. Mm-hmm. So the truth is, yes, Commando has probably walked, you know, I think the Hollywood Reporter or some trade magazine had a headline one time saying Commando has probably walked more red carpets than any other designer. Yeah. I really don't know how they can quantify it, but I wouldn't be surprised about it.
That's amazing.
Commando has been a darling of red carpets and celebrity styling for many, 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 many years. Mm-hmm. The difference is that women back then when I started didn't talk about their underwear. Mm. Now, as I discussed, since underwear is so much a part of their overall look, not only are people talking about it, but they're also being photographed in it, which is really important. But to go back to my PR background, I believe in authentic relationships. And at Commando, as a rule, we do not pay for anyone to wear our garments.
Okay.
So all of these celebrities that you see wearing our garments, all the times that you see us, these influencers on Instagram, they wear it because they love it. Mm-hmm. Another important part of our DNA, a part of our brand, is we are so entrenched in the fashion world. Almost 10 years ago, designers came to me and said, Carrie, we love your underwear. This is for New York Fashion Week. We love your underwear, and we want to wear it underneath our runway looks because we want a flawless look underneath. And it started off with a couple designers, and now today, Commando works with almost between 25 to 30 designers each New York Fashion Week. We do not pay to be part of their shows. And now it's really not about having an invisible look underneath. Many times they are visibly showing and styling Commando around their looks. Mm-hmm. And that includes our hosiery, sometimes our leggings, our underwear, our slips, and so on and so forth. And so I think that's amazing that women and everyone's realizing that now my dream has come true. This is not an afterthought at all from when I started this company 15 years ago. Now everyone's getting it. It is part of your overall look. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of that.
Well, it's been incredible. It's been incredible to see the evolution of Commando. And, you know, as you say, started with underwear, but now it's so much bigger than that. You know, it's gone past the top drawer. We're talking, you know, the leggings. And in Ireland, we're crazy about those leather look leggings and, you know, those luxury basics. So what else is in store then? What else is in your plans for this wonderful brand?
Well, as you mentioned, our leggings are beloved. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have so many what we call hero products at Commando that people just love and they trust. And that Commando canvas is key to our brand. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is to create these garments that make dressing easier in the morning. So if you have your perfect underwear, your perfect slip, your perfect black opaque tights, your perfect leggings, which you guys love, then you can style around them. And you can create any look you want to. And the same goes with our bodysuits as well. So as long as I just want to continue with that ethos of creating these luxury canvas pieces that women or maybe men one day can wear every day and trust and rely to make them feel great. And then they can decide how else they want to style around them. You know, I don't, maybe some people will wear commando head to toe. I know I do sometimes, but really the intent is it is your backdrop. It is your canvas that makes you look and feel great. That's super comfortable and luxurious. And then go at it, have fun styling around it.
Exactly. So it's like that foundation, and then you can, you know, just accessorize or jazz it up any way you want. But what you're wearing, you know, the underwear and the leggings, they're all working for you. So the rest of it is easy, I guess. You mentioned men perhaps wearing commando one day. Is that a possibility? Do you think that's a route you could go down?
Well, I think everybody wants garments, anything that they can rely on to have their day to day. So it could be an interpretation of men's. It could be an interpretation of us entering another category. I mean, the reception of our leggings has been overwhelming.
Okay. And in terms of the life, you know, the fast pace, you were quite eager, you were burnt out from, you know, in your previous life in financial PR. What's life like now? You know, what's the team like you have around you? What's a typical day? Is it busier than you ever were? Or have you that balance that you desired?
Well, I'm I love that question.
It's a hard question.
You know, people ask about balance all the time. It's so weird to talk about balance because there's very few people I know that have a balanced lifestyle, especially if you're a mother.
Yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned, but I am a mother of three. But I love my life right now. And this is the chapter I'm in right now. Yes, I'm busy. And yes, I'm on the road all the time. But I also own a company that's really exciting and growing. And I'm surrounded by really smart people that are enthusiastic and passionate about our brand and what we are offering to everyone. I live in Vermont. I'm surrounded by my family. My family's now a fourth generation Vermont family. And so I was able to create a life for myself and my family here. And that I'm really proud of that. And I've been able to create a lot of jobs here in Vermont. I love the fact that I didn't do it on purpose, but over 90% of the people that work at Commando are women. And that includes warehouse workers and production people.
Wow.
So I kind of have my chaos carry style, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, that sounds amazing.
And I'm happy right now. Yeah. And it can be hard and challenging. I'm still learning every single day, and that's challenging, but that's really exciting too, because once you stop learning, it's not fun anymore.
No, we have to keep progressing. It's important. So if there's somebody listening who's perhaps stuck in an industry that they're, you know, that they're just not learning anymore, the fun has gone out of it, what is the advice you would give them? What would you say to do? What were the decisions you made before you moved on? I know it was quite abrupt.
I have a lot to say about that. First of all, if you are in a job right now that you are not happy with, I would first, and because this happens sometimes at Commando, so every once in a while something can happen along the way and with an employee, and we are, many times your employer can help you get reengaged.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go and tell your boss, oh, I hate my job. You find a way that you can be more successful in your job that you're currently at. So you don't necessarily have to leave. But since we all spend the majority of our lives, unfortunately, the reality is we spend more time many times with your coworkers at your job than you do at home.
Mm.
I feel that you need to do whatever you can to find something that you love to do, that you can be successful at, and that you can be successful as a whole person, which means you can still accomplish whatever your financial and interpersonal goals are. So I wouldn't settle. I would find a way, whether it's in your current position or creating a new situation for yourself, to find yourself something that makes you psyched to get up every day and go to work.
Well, we are very lucky that you found Commando because, like I say, we are really huge fans in Ireland and in Brown Thomas. So we're very much looking forward to seeing what's next for this great brand. And it's such a joy to talk to you. Thank you so much, Kerry.
Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening to the Brown Thomas podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to share and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Official Brown Thomas on Instagram for more updates.